observe me.
Yeah, but I think it really.
Well, good morning, everyone. I think we're ready to start. We are definitely missing some of our church family today due to the camping right now. Most of our youth is out camping, and we have leaders out there. And I know we have some illnesses going on as well, so why don't we open up with a prayer for that. So, Father, right now, Lord God, I just... First, I want to thank you, Lord, just for everyone who's here this morning, and we all have this opportunity just to worship you and just come together and share our joys or anything that we're going through. Lord God, I thank you for that, having that close family, Lord. And we praise you that the youth group is just out having fun and camping and that they're having their own church service this morning out in the woods, which may not sound fun to everyone, but I think the kids like it, so that's good. So we just pray, Father, that you just speak to each and every one of them individually, Lord, and just pray that you bless that group, Lord, and just bless just the leaders for taking out their time just to really just pour into those children. Right now, Lord God, I want to lift up Jim to you, Lord, who's just in the hospital. I don't know if he had just gotten out yet or he may still be in it right now, Lord, but... we pray, Father, he's just having issues with his heart and just several different things, maybe even pneumonia. And just, Father, we just pray, Lord, that in the midst of all of this stuff that he's going through, Lord, that he is able just to keep his eyes on you, Father. I pray that his faith does not steer any way except on that straight path to just trust you 100%, Lord God. It's so hard when we go through even health things, Lord God, but all these issues that we have, Father, but we know that you're the great physician, Lord God, and that you can heal us, you can protect us, Lord. But we also pray, Father, that your will be done in all situations. And no matter what it is, we can keep our eyes on you, Father. We lift up Shirley to you right now, Lord God, just with the issues that she's been having. Lord, that she had, I think it was a slight stroke not too long ago, but she's at home right now, Lord, and she wants to feel comfortable. Father, we just pray that for a complete healing with her, Lord God. And that also, Lord, she just keeps her eyes completely on you, Lord. And we pray for Amber, Father, who has this Halsey palsy thing going on, Lord. And I know that she's gradually getting better, Lord. But I also pray, Father, that you just quicken the process, Lord, and that we just lift her up to you, Father. And we pray that you just help us worship today, Lord God. All of these things that we bring to you, Lord, help us just lay them down now. Help us to focus on your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask that you speak to us as we sing today, Father. Amen.
Amen.
God, give us new every morning.
we do pray that your will be done, Lord God. We just pray, Father, that you help us get out of the way, Lord. All of the things that entice us in this world, Lord God, I pray, Father, help us just to have strength to overcome those things, Lord. Help us to walk within our walk with you, Lord God, and be so faithful to you, Father. Help us not to even be enticed by those things, Lord. Father, we pray just for contentment, Lord, and just to have complete understanding, Father, that when we are in a relationship with you, Father, you give us your all, Lord God. So we can joyfully and wonderfully want to give you our all too, Lord God. It's not because you command this of us, you demand it, but you love us so much, Father. Just like a loving relationship, I know that my husband loves me so much, and it makes me want to be a loving wife, Lord. But even as much as we love each other, Lord God, it's completely imperfect compared to your love for us, Lord. Help us to run to you in everything, Father. Help us to search for everything through Jesus' name, Lord.
Surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Now let's have some Christmas music.
Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. Now that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name, oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
I just find comfort in that song. I love that song not only from my childhood, but I just love it when it talks about how the Lord came and thwarted Satan's plan. It's just amazing. We have the Lord on our side. Who can stand against us? Nothing. No one. We have the victory because of Jesus.
Is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping. This is his Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing.
Father, Lord God, I just pray during this time, Lord, as Christmas is nearing. Lord, I know there's so many different cliches around this time, Father, but I do just pray, Lord, that we are able just to minister, Lord God. We can be your light. Lord God, help us to steer so clear from hypocrisy, Father, so that others can see us. And, I want to know, how are you that way? What about you makes you who you are? And Father, all we can do is just point to Christ and invite people to come into our freedom, Lord God. So I pray, Lord, that this Christmas, Lord God, as we celebrate Jesus Christ's birth, Lord, that so many people will come to know you, Lord, and will genuinely come to know you, Lord God, and will want to stay with you and live with you and then spend eternity with you, Father. We just lift up heavy hearts today, Lord, and we just pray, Father, that we are so hungry and just ready to learn, Lord. Amen.
This morning as I just came in, as I saw Gary, of course that cheers everybody up.
Absolutely.
But even more than just that, you know, he had on his little name tag, Merry Christmas with Christ emphasized. And I just thought, you know what, in the busy pace, right, in the craziness of all that's going on, the family pressures that we have, and the financial strains that we're going on, we can get so distracted. But when you bring it all down to what it's really about, it's all about Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's who he is, and that's what this season is about. And so, Lord, I just pray a blessing over all of us here, Lord God. And I ask this for me and myself first, Lord God, with all the stress and pressures, Lord, that you would just, like a laser beam, that you would fix our eyes. You would raise our heads and our eyes and our thoughts. Fix our eyes on you, the starter and the finisher of our faith, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that we would be just honed in on you like a laser beam, and we would take and make the most of every opportunity your birth provides, Lord. Even giving gifts to people in our neighborhood or in our schools or at work, Lord God, they can be about you, Lord. What an opportunity to present you to other people. So help us as your followers to make the most of this opportunity, Lord God. And I ask this for this body and these people, Lord, and all the youth and all the youth workers and all those that are having that big camping trip, Lord, that you would bless them abundantly, Lord, right now. Fix their eyes and hearts on you as well, right now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, we do have a couple of things to go over really quickly, and then we will proceed on to the book of Colossians, which we're going through verse by verse. So a couple of things, since we've got some new believers here. If you're looking to, you know, we all listen to music, and there's some great music going on. The Joy FM 88.1 is playing like Christmas music 24/7. And Moody Radio, also another Christian station, 104.3. So if you can listen to music to honor the Lord, why wouldn't you? I know that brings honor to the Lord. So check those stations out. Also, we've got some free Panera loaves back there if you want to take some home with you. And bagels, just grab a little bag back there. Kelly would be happy to help you. Kelly, would you raise your hand for the folks who you would donate? Yep. We just want to give you a gift, and it's just free in Jesus' name. There are no strings attached at all. We don't take up any tithes and offerings, but we receive them in the back box, in the little bird box. And so if you would like to give, please, please, please feel free to do so in Jesus' name. Never want anyone to feel coerced to give. We give because the Lord has given to us. Also, the Star, I've heard lots of good reviews about this. In fact, I think a bunch more of our kids and kids from high school are going to see this tomorrow. Or is it after church today? Yeah. Also, part of our job is equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, and so we've been giving away lots of books. I just have a couple things left. If anyone is interested, I want to give this. I'm I know people don't like to be made uncomfortable, but sometimes I feel led of the Lord to do things. And I feel like the Lord is leading this, so I'm sorry to put you on the spot. Nathan, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
To Voice of the Martyrs and from DC Talk. And it's just short stories, Jesus Freaks. It's true stories about martyrs who've given their life to Jesus Christ. And they're only about a couple pages each, and a bunch of stories from back in Jesus' time up till today. I've got one left, if anyone will read it as a gift.
I'll read it to the pastor.
Okay, that'd be even better. Gift in Jesus' name. Also, since we're missing a lot of people, I don't know if I should do this today, but I'm going to. We've got lots of folks that are wanting to disciple, that are needing, I should say, discipling in the church. There's more and more coming in. And so, for those of you who are more mature in the Lord, if you would like to take one of these people, they could be an older person, a younger person, male or female, if God is putting it on your heart to serve in this way, would you pray about it? I've got these little books called The Believer Plugged In, and it's just a short little thing that'll take you through some basic things. What is repentance and faith? What is the Word of God? What is fellowship? What is, Jesus, who is the Father, who is the Holy Spirit, just all these different things. What is spiritual warfare? You know, all these different things. So if you would like to help disciple other people, would you come to me? And I'll give you this, and we'll set you up with somebody that you could help just go through maybe once a week. And they're just little questions that you guys look through and answer together. So anybody can do it. So if God's stirring your heart to that, I'm just going to ask you to pray, and I want to give you that to help with that disciple, because we do need help. So, all right, what else do we have in here? So, forget anything else? Lorna Leiber, I'm going to wait on that. Suze, until next week, maybe. Sermons online, you guys already know that if you miss any. Prayer time, 9 a.m., somebody was asking, what's that like? And, Gary, that's when you bring out the. You know what?
That was wonderful.
Yeah, what, just, for folks who've not, you know, they're not familiar with the church, what, you know, what is that like? Yeah, right there. Right behind you, son. Very close. Perfect. All right, you're close. You're close. That's Sunday mornings at 9 a.m.
We just get together and go where the Lord leads us. And that, you know, praying for folks in the body, praying for our service, and praying that we would be, you know, more attentive to what the Lord would have us do, and that what He wants for this body. I mean, a little bit like the Experiencing God course. Lord, where do you want to go today?
Yeah.
And how do we get on board?
Yes. Rebecca, do you also want to? Yeah. Right here, son.
I also find that it's great if you are in a ministry, like in the children's ministry, and you get those weeks where you're totally over there the whole time.
Yeah.
It's so cool if you can come here for prayer, because then you can still be part of the body, yeah. Let each other up, and also the people who regularly come, you know, they become closer,
yes,
through prayer, which is really cool.
That is really cool.
Thanks.
Okay, so we just want to invite you out at 9 a.m. Now, Tuesdays is our men's Bible study and dinner. Now, this is close to Christmas. Gary, are we having...
Oh, yeah. We're going to learn a little more from the wisdom of Solomon and have a little barbecue.
Okay, we're in the book of Ecclesiastes, going through the book of Ecclesiastes. So if you'd like to join us at 6 p.m. for dinner, we'd love to have you. And then after that is Bible study through the book of Ecclesiastes. So you're welcome to come to that. We want to invite you out. Also, Wednesday is our youth group, the Transformers. And so we'd love for you guys to attend that as well. Youth camping trivia, if you guys know about that, pray for that. There's about 20 or so out there. Thank you for everybody coming to the Christmas party. You know, I know everybody is super busy, and so us. I wonder if anybody's going to show up, because everybody's so busy, and there's a lot of folks that, I can't go. I said, oh, Lord, why should I? Well, do the Christmas. There were still about 50, 70 people that came, and it was an awesome, awesome, fun, amazing time. So thank you so much for everybody who worked so hard on that. And
the food was awesome.
The food was awesome. Everybody brought dishes, and Tom just baked those honey hams for I don't know how many days and hours. He baked and baked and baked. Oh, Gloria, you had a hand in it too. I thought it was just Tom. Okay. And so, we just want to say thank you to that. Tom, thank you for emceeing that. It was a great time. This Thursday, we're going to go back to our barbecue and Bible study. And every Thursday we're going through different books of the Bible, depending on who's teaching. So we're going through, I'm going through 1 Kings from beginning to end. Gary will be going through the book of Mark from beginning to end. Tom is going through the book of Hosea from beginning to end. And I think that's... Sorry, we need one more teacher so we can do all 4 weeks. But that's what we have for right now. And so if you want to come out from 6 to 8 o'clock for some dinner, family dinner, and then after that, I think it's Kings, right? I'm doing it this weekend.
Yeah. I think it's fine.
Well, somebody. Just show up. All right, just show up. You're going to get the word of God. Okay, so we were talking about Shepherdstown Christian School, but I don't think we had time to do the fundraiser. They're going to the Ark Encounter, but we're going to talk about that next week, so I'll talk about that. So I'm going to scroll right through that. Again, pray for the folks who got baptized recently, you know, and they need, again, discipleship, and so we need more and more people to help disciple. If you're a discipler and you want to do that, you have to be patient, because some of these folks have never been rooted and grounded in the Lord, so you have to be patient with them, get the call. It's not, you have to be just ready. But, you know, we just want to encourage and you to pray for them. All right? I think that's it. All right, let's open to the book of Colossians. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. The substance, supremacy, and sufficiency of Christ. And we are in Colossians 3. This is not our home. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and Chris will somehow find one for you and bring it to you. Chris, you need a few?
There's some up here, Chris.
Chris. So we are going through the book of Colossians, verse by verse. We are in Colossians 3. I'm going to scroll through some of these slides here. We're talking about the resurrected life, you know, we're talking about, you know, putting off the things from our sinful life, you know, those things before we got saved, right? They've got holds on us, we've built up habits, we've built up all these things, and he's telling us all these things in Colossians 3, 5 to 11, to put off from our life. And then he's telling us in these next verses, which we're going to get to today, what to put on to your life. So it's not just about don'ts. You know, thou shalt not, thou shalt, it's thou shall too. God wants you to get rid of all the old junk, because that's baggage. It's weighing you down. You know, it's holding you back. It's some of all this, it's like a boat anchor on you, and you're dragging it around with you. Sexual impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language, lying to one another. God says, hey, you're a Christian now. You're born again. You're born from above. I place my Holy Spirit inside of you. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to think the same way. I don't want you to speak the same way. I don't want you to live the same way. I want you to live for me. That's what he's saying. So put these things off you, because that doesn't reflect my image to anybody, right? And I want you to put on compassion, kindness, humility. We'll get to all that. I'll go to that in a second. We talk about sexual intimacy as a gift from God. It must be governed by God, okay? We talked about how we're living in a day and age that marriage isn't honored at all. But God says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. God wants us to live pure and holy lives. You know, God has sexual intimacy for one place and one place only, for marriage. Not for living together or anything else. It's designed for marriage. God's designed it that way. He says that we're to run, not even have a hint of sexual immorality or of greed, for they're improper for God's holy people. Okay? He says to put off that covetousness and put off greed. And because of these things, it says the wrath of God is coming, you know, and are you ready? We talked about putting off anger, you know, that orge, that simmering, I'm just always mad. You know, I probably had that last night, you know, I was like so stressed, you know. It's like you're kind of just at the top. He says, put that off of you, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. He says, put off that rage, you know. That thumos, that violent, you know, like, oh, put that off of your life. That's how you used to work. Slander. You know, when you cut people down to make yourself look better? You know what I'm saying? Hey, it works. Can I just say that? But that's the world works. That's the way Satan works. That's not how God works. God doesn't want you cutting other people down. He wants you building them up. So he's put off that slander. That's very devastating. As a Christian, that should be off of your lips and off of your hips. No, I don't know. Okay. So, yes, we talked about that. Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. I love that. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. Thank you, Lord, for that. It said, put off that foul and abusive language. You know, words can hurt. Words can kill. Or words give life, Proverbs 18 says. You know, you can damage and beat others down with your words. That's what the world does. Or you can build up. Let nothing come out of your mouth except that which builds up others. That's what his word says. So where are we going to mine stuff? Are we going to the movies or to the TV or to magazines or to websites and putting that stuff in our heart? Or are we going to God's word? Are we listening to godly teachings? Are we listening to godly music and filling our minds, renewing our minds with that kind of stuff? Because out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth is going to speak. So whatever you're putting in,
garbage out.
So you put the God in, and the God stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So make sure you're minding from the right mind. You're born again to a life that will not quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God.
Love that.
So, we need to put off the old self. Just like that dirty, stinky clothes we talked about last week, you want to go to bed in those clothes after you've been out digging in the garden or out working in the dirt. You want to take that stuff off. Put off your old self that belongs to your former manner of life and put on the likeness of God. And that's, you also talked about lying, how God hates lying lips. And in the church, nobody seems to really care that much about lying. But it's the language of Satan, the Bible says. God says he hates it. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like, you know, there's six things that he hates. And if you remember, two of them have to do with lying. It's not a little thing, because Jesus is the truth, right? Everything about him is true. So when you speak the truth, even if you get in trouble or even if you have to take a shot, you're giving honor to Jesus. Every time you lie, it says, the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. You are literally giving honor to Satan. What do you want to do? So he says, put that lying off of you, because even as Revelation says, all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. God takes lying seriously. He puts it there with witchcraft and unbelievers. You know, when he lies, Satan lies, he speaks his native language. He's a liar and the father of lies. Put that far from you, Christian. He detests lying lips, but he delights in those who are truths. And I want you to be the kind of person that delights God's heart. Amen? Okay. We also talked about God created mankind in his own image. We talked about in these verses, verse 10, you know, putting on the new self, in verse 11, there's no Greek, nor Jew, no circumcised, no barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. There's no racism in the body of Christ. I shouldn't say that. There is racism. But there shouldn't be. We're all from one race. Isn't that true? Where do we all come from? Where does Genesis say we all come from? We're of one race, folks, right? So whatever nationality, well, I'm a this, you're a that, well, I'm this color, I'm that color, what difference does it make? We are all one at the cross, one in Jesus Christ. There shouldn't be any social classes or upper class or middle class or lower class or working class, white collar, blue collar. We're all made in his image, right? Especially as a Christian, we're to shine and show people that. Yeah, Tim.
Are we all Gentiles and we're not Jews?
Okay, that's a great question. A Gentile was somebody, the Jews consider a Gentile was somebody who didn't believe
in the law?
In our Father God. Okay.
Christ.
So that, right. So when he's saying like a Jew or Gentile, you know, like...
He's talking about us, correct?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Basically for them, yeah, but for us, he's basically saying, you know what, I don't want there to be any differences in, you know, race or racism. Well, I'm a Jew. Well, I'm a Greek.
We're adopted children of God, so we still inherit the...
Yes, absolutely. we're all one in Christ.
Gentile or Jew.
Yes, exactly. Jew, Greek, you know, you could go New Yorker, Italian, you could go black, white, Asian, you could say whatever you want. We're all one in Christ. Does that make sense?
Where is the verse?
Yeah, that's in Colossians 11. And it goes on to Colossians 12, where it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I love this. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. We'll just go over those couple verses because there's a lot there. Okay? Thanks, Chris. I appreciate that. The first thing my Bible says, I don't know if you've got different translations here, and whatever the Lord is using in your life is wonderful. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, listen, the neat thing about it is that God chose you. That God loves you. That He says, you're special. Now, maybe no one's ever said that to you. Maybe nobody's ever made you feel like you're worth anything. Do you know what I'm saying? The world kind of tells you you're a piece of garbage. And God is saying, I love you. I care about you. I want you to come to know me. You are chosen by me. 1 Peter 2:9, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That's awesome. You are chosen by God. But not only that, you are holy. And that's just a fancy way of saying you're set apart. In the Old Testament, if something was like in the temple, it gives us a picture of there was stuff used for common use. You know, they had just bread that everybody could eat and utensils for everything. But in the temple, right, they had stuff set apart that only God's anointed people or ordained people could use, right? It was only used for God's purposes, right? It was special, it was holy, it was set apart. God is saying, if you're a follower of me now, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's you. You're set apart, not for worldly purposes. I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. And it's to honor me, is to know me, is to love me. Right? You're set apart. The illustration is almost like, you know, a marriage ceremony, you know, where a husband and what we had that, you know, just last month or so, a couple get married. And they said, you know, we want to honor the Lord. We want to set apart our relationship for exclusivity. Exclusivity. Thank you. So we just want to be, it's just us. Our marriage from now on, it's us and the Lord, right? That's what He's saying. When you're holy and set apart, I want that relationship to be, you know, God's saying, I want you and me. I want you set apart for me. Not for everybody else, not for the world, for me. Now how silly would it look, right? If after that wedding, the bride said, I'm so glad we're married and we set apart our relationship to be exclusive, just you and I together. So I'm going to date some of the groomsmen and we're going to go out. You'd be like, what? Who are you? What kind of person is that, right? But isn't that what we do sometimes? As Christians, we're saying, oh God, hey, love you, hallelujah, praise Jesus, Yahweh. Yeah, oh yeah, you're number one, right? I'm just going to go do all these things. I said, okay, I love the youth. Now, teenagers are wonderful. But they are learning. And so you get a lot of stuff mixed up when kids are, we're all big kids. But anyway, when people are learning, and one of the kids, I haven't seen his family at church in some months, in many months. And so I said to him, I said, where have you been, man? Say, hey, just love you. Where have you been? Oh, Pastor Jerry. Oh, yeah, I know what you're going to say. Okay, good. I said, yeah. He's like, Pastor Jerry, we just been really busy. You know, I got football, you know, and we have this and we have that going on and friends, you know. I said, oh yeah, God, I got it. You're busy. That makes sense. No, I totally understand. He's like, really? I said, oh, yeah. I'm sure God understands. I mean, you know, pull him aside. I mean, you got football, right? Let's just put God aside. You got your friends. Am I right? You know, he's like, wow, Pastor Darren. What? No, I'm sure. Right, seek him fifth, right? In his kingdom? Wait, first. First. Seek him first. Oh, okay. He's like, wow, Pastor Darren. I'm like, what, dude? You know I love you, but if I don't tell you, who's going to tell you? You know, seek him first, his kingdom, his righteousness, all the rest of it. So he wants us to be set apart, okay? And so does he want us to be set apart for him. So that means we put off the old self, and we put on the new. In verse 12, and then it goes on to say that we're dearly loved. And that's so cool. 1 John 3:1 is, I did say this. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason why the world does not know us is it does not know him. Right. Listen, don't be expecting the world to say, oh, you're a Christian? Woohoo! Wow! Praise the Lord! That's fantastic! Wow, so proud of you. No, it's just the opposite, right? But he's lavished it on. Just like if you got a banana split, and they just put a teeny little bit of chocolate syrup on. Who wants that? You want the hot fudge draped on that baby. You know what I mean? You want the strawberry sauce. That's what he's done. He's lavished it on you. He's died for you. He shed his blood for you. While you were yet a sinner in rebellion to him, he died for you so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Wow. But I got, and I make fun of the football thing, but listen, we can all do that. I got work, right? We got to work, got to make the dollar. Well, we got this, I got a relationship, what's most, he needs to be first, okay? Set apart. And then it goes on to say, man, you're chosen, you're holy, and you're loved. And then he says, some of your translations say this, put on. And, that we're to put on these things. Life is not just about put off, okay? I no longer put kittens in microwaves. I never did that. I'm just saying, I know. It's more than just put off of things. What I don't do as a Christian is what you do. So when I put on these things, right? The Lord Jesus Christ, I'm clothing myself. I'm choosing by the power of the Holy Spirit to put on these things. So that means God is wanting me to clothe myself. See, that's an interesting thing it says. Clothe yourself. That means I have a choice. I can choose to do this, or I cannot choose to do this. Every day you have a choice. Every argument you get in, every conflict you get in, every time you get in your car on, 70, twitch, or I-75, whatever it is, every time you go to work, you can put on these things. But as you put on yourself, clothe yourselves with the compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, you look different, right? This outfit says something. Well, it says I'm bright yellow like a banana. But the point is, the illustration is, I'm prepared for rain, right? I'm looking different. I do. And I'm about this. I know it's going to rain outside, so I'm going to go. So too, when you clothe yourself in Jesus Christ, the world says, you look different. You don't look like this person. See, if you look like the world, something's wrong. You know what I'm saying? We're to look different. It's going to say something about it. This says it's going to rain, and that's so you clothing yourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. As you put him on, as you put his attributes on, so it's going to say something about you. So clothe yourselves in compassion. Now, some of your translations will say this, and that's actually, it's more accurate. I think the King James says this. Put on, I think it says, bowels of mercy. Okay, right? Or something like that, is that right? Yeah. Well, I'm like, what? When I think of, compassion or bowels of compassion, something like that, that doesn't say much. When I think of somebody's bowels, you know what I'm saying? Okay. So, but to a Greek or to a Roman, it's, how we say heart? You know what I mean? Oh, the heart is the deepest part of who you are. They would say the deepest part they thought was the bowels. So when they say, put on bowels of mercy or bowels of compassion, what they're trying to say is that literal translation means compassion. Put on a heart of compassion. you know, it's the deepest part of who you are, you know. So back in the Greek days, they used to have Valentine's Day cards. I love you with all my bowels. Yeah. There's a little small intestine on there, a little large intestine. It's very, very romantic. No.
The scientists are finding now that the chemicals in our intestines actually affect our emotions.
Really? That's right. So he's saying, I want you to have, in the deepest part of you, compassion. Listen, if you're a Christian, oh, I'm just one of those mean Christians. Now listen, God can still use you, but he's saying, I want you to put on compassion. I want you to put on love. I want you to put on tender mercy, some of your Bibles might say. The Bible says something very interesting in Matthew 24:12-13. Jesus talked about the latter days, and he says, you know, he says something very strong, which shakes me, and I hope shakes you. He says, because of the increase in wickedness and sin, the love of most will what?
Grow cold.
But the one who stands firm to the end. See, the enemy wants to kill that compassion in you. That's why that person the enemy is using in your life is trying to use you, trying to manipulate you, trying to aggravate you to the point where there's nothing left, trying to suck you dry, right? Do you know what I'm saying? Like that black, just trying to use you. That's what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to kill and destroy your heart for him and your heart for others. That's what's going to happen to you if you don't go to him and say, Lord, will you fill me? You know, I have to say, listen, you're a pastor. You have to be filled by the Lord with love. Yes, especially as a pastor, let me tell you. I have to say, Lord, will you please fill me with your heart? Give me your heart for people. Give me your love, Lord God. Fill me with your spirit, because you know what? I leak. We leak sometimes. And we need fresh fillings of his love, don't we? And his compassion. We need to be reminded of that. Isn't that true? Because the world wants to crush your little heart. Nathan wants to take your heart and go, fuck! Sure. With golf cleats. No offense, girl. But that's what he wants to do. He wants to kill that love in you. And the world will do that if you don't run and ask him, Lord, fill my heart with your love, Father. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Holy Spirit, fill me. I need to be filled. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and your compassion. Because he is a compassionate God. Oh my goodness, I forgot to put the Bible verse when I made this slide. That's embarrassing. Well, somewhere in the Bible. I thought it was such a great slide. That's right. I remember Lisa, I said, where do I put that? I didn't do it. Anyway, well, it says, praise be to the God who's in the New Testament, probably in the epistles, almost positive. Maybe it'll come to me as we go on. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry,
Ephesians
I'm trying to remember.
Ephesians 1:3.
What is it?
Ephesians 1:3.
Ephesians 1:3? Yeah, that sounds right. Okay, praise be to our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. He is a compassionate God. That's who he is. And that's who he wants us to be. So listen, whatever has been done to you, right, in the past, you put that off of you because that was meant to kill your heart, to kill your life, so you wouldn't reflect Jesus to others. God bless you, Daryl. In Jesus' name, God bless you. He's the Father of all compassion. You know, when I think of compassion, right, or tender mercies, I think of John 8:1-11. You guys remember the story? There's a bunch of religious leaders, and they caught this couple in adultery, right?
Yeah.
First off, they set them up. They probably set up the little couple having adultery so they could catch him. Didn't bring the guy to Jesus.
No.
Only catch the woman. Yeah, don't even get started there. So they bring this woman, they drag her through the streets, probably half, whatever. They drag her through the streets, they bring her to Jesus, and they say, they're trying to trap him. They say, hey, the law of Moses says that she's caught adultery, she should be stoned. Mm-hmm. Stoned. You know? And what do you say? And, you know? And they're trying to trap him. And they all picked up stones, and they were going to hurl it at this sinful woman, right? And Jesus, he does a really weird thing. I don't know if you know the story. So he cool. Bends down. And he starts writing in the sand. That's weird. Now, it doesn't say what he wrote. He just started writing. Here's what I think he, you know, Rabbi Jaime, blah, 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 blah. This person, blah, blah, blah. And as he was writing, they each dropped their stones from the oldest to the youngest, one right after another. He said, he who is without sin cast the first stone, and wrote and wrote and wrote, and one by one they all left. And he said something really beautiful. And this is what he says to us. So if you're innocent or you've come from that lifestyle, God is not here to condemn you. He is here to save you from it. He doesn't want you going back. God forbid. But he's here to save you from it. This is how I picture modern day. It says in John 8, 10 through 11, Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, sir. She said, then neither do I condemn you. Jesus declared, go now and leave your life of sin. See, that's compassion. Now, can I ask you, when people hurt you, or people take advantage of you, or people, you have to ask the Lord to give you that compassion, to respond in a way that's godly. Because we all know how to respond ungodly. Amen?
Yes.
Let's just be honest. Okay? Lord, take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. Then he says, put on after, or clothe yourselves with compassion. Then he says, I want you to put on kindness. Now, what do some of your other Bibles say anything different other than kindness? In the second one on there? I don't know if it does, but Romans 2:4 says again, this is who God is. He says, don't you see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is with you? He wants you to be the same way. Wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient with others. He says, does this mean nothing to you? It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. It's the kindness of God and the mercies of God that lead us to repentance. So he wants us to be kind in that same way. Ephesians chapter 4:32 says to be kind to one another and compassionate to one another. It's outward, folks, how you're going to show that love, show Jesus to others, reflect kindness to others. Forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. If you want to minister to others like Jesus, it's not clinical, it's relational. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Okay. That's a good question. Explain, somebody says. They don't know how much... They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Have you ever gone to a doctor? If you do in Florida, it's kind of like, for many of us, here's what it is, and hopefully it's not this way to you. You go in, you come in exactly, your appointment's at 4. You get there at 4, right, or a little bit early, and then you wait, right? And then you wait. Then a half hour later, they bring you into another room. You know what you do there?
Wait.
So you wait some more. Then you wait another 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and you wait. Then they come in. It's like, I don't really know who you are. What's your symptoms? Okay, I went in, and I got some testing for some nerve damage. And he's like, hey, tell me all about what's going on. So I'm like, oh, okay, great. I start telling him. He's like, okay, that's enough. Well, I'm not done. And he's like, that's okay. And he's like, okay, I'm going to poke you with pins. And I'm like, okay, it hurts a lot more. It feels a lot more sensitive on this side than this side. This side's a little up. He's like, I'm not asking you that. I'm just asking if you feel anything. Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? He was doing his job. But it was more clinical. You're just another person to be seen. Listen, and I know some churches are set up that way. Okay. You know, if someone comes for counseling, well, I want to set them up with the right person. You want to set them up with, you know, if they're coming to you. I remember a couple coming to Gary for counseling, for marriage counseling, because Gary took care of them one time when I was out of town. And I talked to them, and they wanted to go to Gary. I'm not offended by that. Wonderful. Let Gary counsel you. Fantastic. That's where the heart. So, listen. You can kind of just like, oh, this is what we do. Marriage you, funeral you. No, it's relational. Our God is a relational God. He wants us to be kind and compassionate. Take in the feelings of others. You know what I'm trying to say? We're all going to give them the same word, but be kind, be compassionate. When I think of, like, kindness, I think of a guy named Mephibosheth. Does anybody remember him? Okay, a couple of you. Okay, Mephibosheth was a son, or in the family of Solomon. Now, Solomon was Solomon. Thank you. So, was in the family of Saul, and David was anointed king of Israel, but Saul was the king at the time, and instead of giving up and doing what God wanted, he held on to the throne. And in fact, he slandered David, he lied to David, he took away his home, he took away his wife, actually, gave away his wife, which was his daughter. He hunted him for many years, and finally, tried to kill him, and finally, David, the Lord killed off him and brought David to the kingship. And David, instead of being like, let's get rid of the house of Saul like a king would do, right? Let's rid everybody of the family. King David said this, 2 Samuel 9:3. The king asked, is there no one still alive in the house of Saul who I could show kindness to? See, if you just show kindness purposely to people, purposely, love and kindness, a little bit, you're showing Jesus. Oh, just receive it in Jesus' name. Hold open the door. Oh, just receive it in Jesus' name. Hey, I got you a little gift. Just receive it in Jesus' name. You're showing him to others because he is kind and compassionate. Does that make sense? Doesn't matter your background, how you grew up. For some of you, it's rougher to be kind and compassionate. Maybe you're beating the snot out of all your life. But God's doing a new work in you. Okay? So he wants us to put on kindness in our life and make it genuine to other people so that they can see it. He wants us to put on humility. You know? When I think of that, the only time Jesus ever described himself, he described himself as humble. He said, come to me in Matthew 11:28. All you who are weary and heavy burdened. Jesus said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me. For I am what? Gentle and humble in heart. Humility, my friends, is a choice. And you'll find rest for your souls. Okay? I want you to be humble in heart. Humility is not just thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Does that make sense? It's focusing on other people instead of yourself. You might be hurting, you might be in pain, but I'm gonna see if this person needs anything. You know, instead of coming to me, why are these people gonna feed me? I hope somebody talks to me. Nobody's invited me to a Bible study yet. Hope the pastor doesn't preach too long like he always does. Blah 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 blah. Yeah, see, we're thinking that. Thank you. It's coming in saying, you know, before, help me encourage someone. Let me be a blessing in your name to someone. How can I do? Will you allow me to see somebody who's hurting to be with them? Now, this is in Philippians. I didn't write the scripture down. But this is Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, off my memory. This is what is said to us. He wants us. The world is selfish and self-centered, right? And you even see this in a lot of churches, right? They're selfish, self-centered. It's all about them. That's disgusting. That's the opposite of God's heart. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or to impress others. Who cares, right? We're here to impress the Lord. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Let each of you look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Okay. If nobody's saying hello to you, you go and say hello to people. You go pray for people. You bring in the snack. You bring Jesus to them. Don't wait for everybody to serve do for you. You do for them. You be the example. Does that make sense? Because if not, you can be all prideful. Okay, well then I'm going to take on the feet of a servant in humility. Right? And I'm going to serve. Okay, lots of hands are going up. So well, you're closest and the microphone is closest. So right here.
Could you go back to the last slide?
No. Yes, of course. I'm sorry. Go back to the last slide. Yes. Yes, no.
No. That's C.S. Lewis. Okay. So there's an extra word in here, just, because you've quoted this lots of times. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. We're actually not supposed to think less of ourselves.
Yes.
So the word just is extraneous.
Yes.
Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. I think a lot of times when we become Christians and we want to be humble, we think that we have to think that we're the scum of the earth. Somehow, and that God thinks of us like that. And then we think that that's being humble, but then it's like we can't even receive God's value on us because
yes.
we have to keep putting ourselves down.
Yes.
And that just, it hurts my heart when I see people like that. And I went through that myself, but I have people in my life like that, and it, I just wish they knew, like, it's not you being less than other people.
Yeah.
It's just you not focusing on yourself.
Yes. You know, and humility, listen, and being humble too in the Lord is, I you know, I remember my mom, you know, when she was alive, she would say, Darren, you know, you're an amazing person, you're amazing. Mom, you know, but when I put myself next to the Lord, Mom, none of those things. I'm a selfish, self-centered jerk. Don't say that about yourself. Mom, it's true. Now, I don't say that to, but that's the reality of it. But also the reality of it is I am loved by God. I'm a child of the King, and He has a plan and purpose for me. Wow!
Well, and every good trait you have is a gift from God.
Well, go. I'm sorry. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Thanks. I want you mic'd up soon.
Just saying that even if you have a trait that is admirable or something that you do well, it's because God gave you that ability.
Right.
It's not because you gave yourself that ability. You didn't create yourself.
Yes.
You didn't give yourself the aptitude and the benefits and the availability maybe to get educated or whatever. You know, every good thing comes from above.
Yes. Amen. Go ahead.
I just read something about accepting compliments, and when you say, "Oh no, I'm not talented in this," you're actually putting God down. So a good expression is, "Thank you, Christ gave that to me."
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just to admit who.
Yes.
It will shock people.
It does. You know, somebody said something to me not too many weeks ago. I won't tell you, but somebody just called me on the phone and said, thank you for not being, he's been in the ministry for, I don't know, 40 years. Man. He said, thank you for, it's the expression that stuck with me. He said, thank you for not being a pirate. I'm like, what? Yeah. I don't know, it's just an odd expression. He's like, there are so many men and people pirating the glory of God. They're stealing it for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for giving all the glory back to the Lord. That's where it belongs. Honestly, I'm nothing. And I don't say that to be like, oh, I'm nothing. I really mean it. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got nothing to offer you that's good. Right? But humility is a choice. So if somebody says, oh, hey, Pastor Darren, oh, such a great sermon. Oh, thanks. Thank you so much. I used to be like, you know, it's just now I'm like, you know, thank you so much. So nice, you know. But yeah, now I say thank you, but I still want to pass it right on. And it's the Lord. It really is. So that's a great way to do that. Mm-hmm. But it's a choice. Humility is a choice. I remember a Bible study. Humility is just something you are or you're not. He said, and if you have to ask if you're humble, well, you're not. I'm thinking, even that statement's not humble. No, you choose it. You choose to be humble. It's a choice. Rumsey, it's a choice. So I want you to put on, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. Now this is something that the enemy doesn't like at all. Oh, sorry. Heidi Hill? Oh, you have something to do? No, go ahead. I'll stop talking. You guys?
I think it's, you know, we talk about having humility, and I think that just knowing where we get our gifts completely from God. Like, I absolutely love who God has made me, because before I was a horrible whatever person. So I have just complete confidence in Christ. And I think that when we can be confident in Christ,
in us,
that's when we can help build others up, you
yes.
know? So, yeah, the false humility thing has to go, you know?
Yes.
But the complete humility is, yeah, I actually love myself, but it's only because of who Christ made me, and that you can encourage people to be, you know, who they're supposed to be in that too, because you're walking around with this confidence that the Lord gave you. But the other thing was the thinking of yourself less. You know, I always find myself, it's as simple, you know, even as when I'm overwhelmed, or, you know, I homeschool four kids, and I'm at home all day, you know, and I'm, you know, I feel like I'm cleaning up constantly, but I make the kids do a lot too. So I just start getting really, really overwhelmed, you know, and I think me, and I'll call Josh, what about me? You know, well, I need to do this too. And then it's like, wait a minute, you know, it's look at all he's doing. It's like the, when I feel my flesh rise up and want to do that, first of all, that's your flesh. And right away you have to say, but what about my kids? How can I pour into them more rather than me getting this reprieve? Or the same with my husband. Man, I may be doing a lot, but he's going like 10 million miles per hour. How can I encourage him? You know, so it's a little exercise I have to do.
Choosing humility. Yes. I know, neighbor. Go bring that over to me. Thank you, son.
Well, I think it's just looking at
if we can't find it, 5 seconds on the screen.
I was just looking again at what you read to us about David searching for
a way to be kind.
A way to be kind to anyone left from Saul's family, and it wasn't because of Saul, it was because of Jonathan.
That's correct. Good.
And but I always remembered that he was crippled in both feet.
That's right.
And so he was going to be allowed to eat at the table of David for the rest of his life, which was every single day that David was at home anyways, if you would see him. And but yet there was one other thing he wanted to restore to him, and I'd forgotten this until I read it just now. He wanted to restore to him the land of Saul. He didn't say of Jonathan, he said of Saul. Can you imagine how much land Saul would have owned? That was a huge gift. And when we show kindness, is it just doing one little thing?
Yeah.
Or is it doing something every single day?
Yes.
Like,
and not stuff.
Like David did, as well as...
Now, who can do that without the Lord? Am I right?
Right. Nobody.
You run out of gas. That's why you need it. Fill me up, just like you have to go with the gas. But you're right. Mephibosheth, he was lame in both feet. That's absolutely correct. And he restored the land. He let them eat at his table every day. In fact, gave him servants to serve him, to take care of him, because he couldn't even take care of himself. So yes, he lavished on him.
David not only invited Mephibosheth to sit at the table, he invited him to sit next to himself at the head of the table. Right beside him. So, I mean, he wanted everyone to know of the compassion that was being shown every day.
And I think, too, really quickly, I just want to go back a couple, just because there's something that he said. It was for Jonathan's sake, but also, you know, when he was talking about doing that thing. Oh, where did I put it? Darn it. Oh, well. It's somewhere. He did it for God's sake, it says in there, for the sake of the Lord, you know. And so that's what we need to do it for. Remember, because you know what? Not everybody treats you right. Actually, sometimes Christians, because they're growing, sometimes they can be very mature in one area and like an infant in another. So we're all growing at different speeds, right? It doesn't matter how old they are or how young they are. We're all growing. So sometimes Christians can be mean, actually, knuckleheads. You know what I'm saying? So you have to just do it for the Lord. Because if you're kind and you're showing compassionate and you're doing it for him, well then, you know what? If they treat me right, I'm still going to be humble about it because I get bam, you know? But I'm still going to be because I'm doing it for him. And you're not going to stop because you're doing it for him. So whether they respond well or not, you're doing it for him. It goes on to say, you know, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. And that, another one, some of your translations will say meekness, too. But, you know, Jesus was gentle, okay? Now, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He was gentle with people. A bruised reed he didn't break.
It wasn't like, well, they're not listening, so kick them out the door. No, he's gentle with us. Think how gentle the Lord has been with you. Right? Now, sometimes, right, as a loving parent, he'll bring the paddle to your bottom. Do you know what I'm saying? You'll get discipline, right? Because he loves you. But he's also very loving and kind and gentle. That's who he is. Some of your translations will translate that clothe yourself with gentleness as meekness. Now, here's the thing. Meekness is not weakness, right? It's strength under control, okay? That's gentleness or meekness is strength under control. So most of you guys know Chuck Norris. Remember him from whatever, Texas Walker Ranger? Was that his name, right? Yeah. What was it? Walker Texas Ranger, whatever. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so Chuck Norris, you guys know from that or from film or from, you know, that type of thing. And you know, Chuck Norris, most people don't know, was actually, he was a six-time karate world champion. I just watched one of his matches for grand champion. It was really cool. Anyway, and so one time he was on set of a film, and, you know, he went into a local place to get something to eat, you know, just on a break, in a film break. He sat down at his stool, and one of the local yokels, you know, he was on location, came up to him and, you know, said, "You're sitting in my seat, and you need to get out of it right now before something bad happens to you." Now, listen, if I'm Chuck Norris, and I'm thinking, I'm a six-time world karate champion, I'm thinking I'm going to open up a can of whoop butt on this guy, right? And yeah, he deserves it, doesn't he? He's being a jerk, absolutely. But you know what Chuck Norris did? "So sorry, please take the seat." And he walked away. And his friend, who got so mad, said, "Why did you do that? You could have torn this guy apart." He said something like, "I had it in my head. What would that improve? You know, let him talk. I'll walk." See, that's strength under control. I mean, I've had people say just the dumbest things to me. "You got no backbone. You got no..." And they're tired. I'm listening to them thinking, okay, no strength, no backbone. Okay, here's what my flesh wants to do. I'm thinking as they're chewing me out, and I'm listening to them patiently trying to teach them. I'm thinking, okay, this is a terrible thing that your pastor's doing. I thought, oh, quick elbow to the jaw. You know, I'm just thinking, you know, I can break the nose really quickly. I'm thinking, okay. You're saying, the fact that I'm not doing it, I'm sitting here patiently listening to you berate me and trying to teach you. See, that's not weakness. That's strength under control. That's what the Lord wants us to have. Now, you're going to get the immature believers who are going to say silly things to you, and you're going... And you're going to get the mature believers who are like, "Well, I just think you're doing this, you need to do that, and your heart is this." And you're going, "Oh my gosh, this guy has no idea what they're talking about." That's not me. You have to be patient and humble and meek with everyone. Right? Sue, please.
I think it's the strength that allows us to have meekness. If we are not strong in something, we're defensive.
Oh,
if we are not strong in our faith and someone challenges us, we take offense.
Oh, yeah.
If we're not strong in humility and we're challenged, we take offense. It's the strength. It's when we gain strength in an area that we're able to be. And so if we're failing in an area, it's like a signal. It's like our body. When our body is weak, it hurts. And when we find ourselves reacting, I think to self-examine and recognize, not condemn ourselves, but recognize that okay, here's an area I must be struggling in because I'm reacting this way.
Yes.
And then go to the Lord to strengthen that area.
Exactly. Now, sometimes, you know, when folks come to you too, I mean, you're going to wrestle with stuff, especially, you know, whether they're right or wrong, okay? But usually if you're not meek or you're not humble or you're not gentle, I mean, look how many people in ministry and they act like, you know, they're the king. You say anything to them, they're like, "Off with their heads! Get out! You, who you think you're, this little bam! How do you like me now?" You think you are. You're a little slice. You don't need to do that. Yeah, the Lord's going to work on it. You be patient. You be humble. You listen. We pray. And we speak truth. That's how we operate.
The big word is listen.
Yes.
Listen.
Yes.
We always know something.
And give them a stool. Whatever.
Yeah.
Keep going. Philippians 4:5. Okay, we're only going. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Okay? This is not just something, let's just not who I am. I'm from Jersey. I'm from Boston. I'm from Mass. I'm from whatever you say. I'm Italian. It's not how we are. Let your gentleness, your meekness be evident to all. It's not natural. It's supernatural. What? Did you say it? Oh, you want to take a picture?
Sorry.
It's okay.
You guys are really good.
Thanks. Oh, boy. I didn't make this one. I made it. I guess I didn't need to tell you that. I robbed myself of my body.
Gentleness is something that we focus on earlier.
The fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit, I love that this, I think the NLT produces it this way. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life. You're going to see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if you're not, you know what? You need to go back to the well. You need to go back to the Lord. You need to go back to His Word. Wash over me with Your Word. Fill me with Your Spirit.
In other words, is that saying that it's...
Go ahead. It's okay. The Holy Spirit is going to produce the fruit of God's Holy Spirit living in you. It's going to produce this kind of... It's the opposite of the world. It's God is trying to produce in our life love,
correct,
and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's what He's, when we're surrendering to Him and submitting to Him and His ways, this is what's going to grow on a tree, on the tree of our life. So people can say, huh, why are you so patient in this situation? Why are you so joyful? You should be this. Why are you so kind? I don't get it. What is it with you? And they see that fruit, and they pick it, and they say, I want some of that myself. And you know what? There's seeds in that fruit, right? And those seeds bring out new life in people. And it's Christ in us. Does that make sense? I get excited.
Well, we should.
So put on, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Listen, this is a toughie. 16:32. Better is a patient man than a warrior. One with self-control and one who takes a city. I wrote that. Yes, I did. That's a lie. Better a patient man. For a guy, this should be like embedded in your brain.
Right.
Better a patient man. Well, it's just that you understand my wife. Right. You don't understand these kids. Oh, I understand those kids. No. You don't understand the job. You don't understand the finances. You don't understand. And I would just go back and say, I love you, brother. I know you're under, but you don't understand the power of the Lord. You go to Him. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Wow. He will help you to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or imagine. That's a word. I am abnormal. Like sometimes, I don't want to say this, but how I even phrase it. If you knew me before Christ and now, it's not even two different people. I don't even know how to describe it. Do you know what I'm saying? That's what Christ does over time. Whoever is patient, the Bible says, Proverbs 14:29, has great understanding because you're reflecting Jesus. You know, Sue, somebody was telling me, even this week, even yesterday, how incredibly patient you are. And just the godly attribute of patience. It's a nice thing. Oh, darn, I wasn't patient. But,
I have no idea what that could have been.
But just sharing how patient you were and how they see God's fruit of that Spirit in you. And how they were looking up for that, paraphrasing it. But that's Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Took a while.
I'm sure it did. It did all of us. But the one who shows quick temper is great foolishness. And I've been a fool many times, so I can tell you. And 1 Corinthians 13:7, love is patient. That's what it is. And then bear with one another. This is the last one. I'm not going to get out of here. But anyway, I'm not going to bear with one another. Now, that doesn't mean a lot of... That's what a lot of people think. Bear with one another, right? No. When it says to bear with one another, you'd think it's an echo in Greek. It means to endure with, to put up with, be long-suffering with, to make allowance for. I want you to bear with one another. I want you to be long-suffering with one another. If you're a wife, you understand what that means for us husbands. Ephesians 4:2 says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with one another, making allowance for each other, others' faults, because of your love. So be long-suffering. I don't have time to get into forgiveness. So we'll talk next week. We're going to get into forgiveness. And then it says, forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. So next week, we're going to talk about conflicts. And, oh, I'm sorry. Okay, right? I've been corrected 5 times. In 2 seconds. Everybody else is right. Gary has, God has put something special on Gary's heart for Christmas Eve, which is next Sunday. Yes, we are having service. Some people have asked me. We're absolutely having, right here at Home Fellowship Church at 10:30. And Gary has something special planned. And I don't know what it is. But he's like, you should have seen him at breakfast. He's like a little kid. So I don't know really what that is. So that kind of makes me excited and kind of scares me all at the same time. He's like, God's put this thing on my heart. I'm like, okay. So whatever that is, pray for Gary and pray for us. So that'll be next Sunday. And then the Sunday after that, we're going to talk about forgiveness. And listen, now even some of you are right thinking, don't talk to me about forgiveness, Pastor D. Listen. God wants you to forgive so that you're out of prison. When you don't forgive someone, you know what? You're the one in prison, not them. God can take care of them, whether they're repentant or not. Okay? And we'll talk about that more, so don't... 2 weeks, we're going to talk about forgiveness. Satan is scheming against you, especially when it comes to unforgiveness. He's trying to build that bitterness in your heart, that resentment in your heart. All right, let's pray. Is there any comments before we close up? All right, let's pray.
Thank you.
Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for being faithful to us. Thank you for teaching us, Lord God. I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, you know you put us here for a reason, especially during this high-pressured season of Christmas and family and all this stuff, Lord. There's so much pressure on us. I pray that we take all off that anger, that frustration, that... all that stuff, Lord God, the lying in our, all that stuff. Just take off all the old dirty clothes and put on you, Jesus. Help us to be clothed, choose to clothe ourselves with kindness and compassion and patience and gentleness and mercies and meekness, Lord God, to reflect your image to others, Lord, to a dying world, Lord God, so they can see Christ in us, Lord God. Not us, Christ in us, Lord. We ask for your blessing on each person here, that you would grow them, that their roots would go deep in your word, Lord God, that the fruit of your spirit would be born, Lord God. Lord, that love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control will be evident in our lives in ever-increasing measure, Lord God. As your word is planted deep in our heart, those seeds go down deep in the good soil and grow as we water it with the water of the word. Lord, may your word just dwell in us richly, Lord. We love you and we pray for your blessing over each person. This Christmas, it may be all about Jesus Christ in our lives, Lord. So do whatever it takes to make that happen. Put off the old self and put on the new. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great morning in Jesus' name. I just said to you anyway.